of you were given a special little gift, and you were not told what it was for. But if you have one of those, will you raise it up in the air so I can see where you are? Not that, it's black. Yes, if you have a blindfold, raise it up in the air. Okay, so we are going to start off with a fun little activity. I'm not going to tell you why we're doing this. When I say go ahead and take it out of the wrapper if you haven't already. When I say go, those of you who have one, you are going to put it on, and your job is to come find me. Now, I may or may not be right here, so you're going to have to listen, because you can't see, so you're going to have to listen really well. So, kiddos and adults, no peeking, okay? You are totally blind for this activity. So no peeking whatsoever, no cheating. You just have to listen to my voice. Are you ready? Okay, if you have one, go ahead and put it on. Go ahead and get it on. No peeking, no peeking. Stand up and go. I'm going to keep talking, and you are going to find me just listening to my voice. You are going to find me. No cheating, no cheating. You have to listen really carefully. Listen with your ears. You can't rely on your eyes. Keep listening. Where's my voice coming from? Can you hear? Where's my voice coming from? You're not finding me. Where are you? Come on. Where are you? I'm right here. Come on. Keep finding me. Keep finding me. Don't trip. Careful on the stage. Keep coming. Keep coming. Oh, you got me. Good job. You can take your blindfold off. All right. Everybody go have a seat. Tyler, you almost got me. Go have a seat, buddy. Go have a seat. We're going to do that in just a second. Tyler almost got me. I had to dodge you at the early parts. Yeah, give him a hand. Good job. Now, not being able to see makes even the simplest tasks harder, right? In our Bible passage today, we're going to read a story about a man who was born blind. That meant he could not see. His eyes didn't work. He could never see a single day in his own life. What a hard life that must have been. Let's pray now and ask God to help us understand what he is saying to us through his word. Pray with me. God, we thank you so much for this story and what you want to teach us about your son, Jesus. So would you open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, to see and understand who he is in a new way this morning. We pray it in his strong and powerful name. Amen. All right, we are going to start out with a video that's going to tell us the story. So kiddos, pay attention. We're going to have the video up on the screens, and it's going to tell us the story from the scriptures this morning.
One day, as Jesus and his disciples were out walking, they saw a man who was born blind. The disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?" Jesus responded, "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him." Jesus spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. Jesus told the man, "Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." The blind man did as Jesus told him, and when he returned, he could see. His neighbors and others who knew him couldn't believe it was him. But the former blind beggar kept telling them, "Yes, it's me." They asked him, "Who healed you? What happened?" He told them, The man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself.' I did as he told me, and now I can see." The man's neighbors asked where Jesus was, but he did not know.
All right, so we got a great story today. I want you to imagine, maybe close your eyes if you're willing. I want you to imagine what it would be like to be born blind. You would never know what any of your family members look like. Can you imagine that? You never know what mom and dad look like. You never know what your siblings look like or your cousins. You would never see a sunset or a sunrise a single time in your life. You would never see famous works of art like the Mona Lisa. You would never see a butterfly come out of a cocoon and fly for the first time. You'd never see your favorite meal being set on the table in front of you. And you'd never see the cherry blossoms on the trees in spring. Think of how many beautiful things you would never see if you had been born blind. Okay, you can open your eyes if you had them closed. Now I want you to think about how much more difficult your life would be if you couldn't see. Just like the game that we played earlier demonstrated, even going to school or going to work would be so much harder. Not only would you not be able to drive or ride a bike or a scooter, but you'd have to navigate traffic and railroad crossings and animals that might be dangerous or even food that people spilled on the ground. Oh my gosh, it's so hard. And the blind man didn't have any help to do any of those things. He was totally alone. Did you hear in the story what that blind man's job was? In verse 8, we read it. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" His job was to be a beggar. He had to ask people to give him money and food. His family had chosen not to take care of him anymore. And the only job that a blind person could have was to beg. So this poor man had had a really difficult life since the day he was born. But one day, out of nowhere, a man named Jesus passed by him. He could hear the question that the disciples were asking Jesus about him. He probably sighed. "Here we go again," he thought. Not only was his life so difficult and lonely and sad, but then the pastors and the church leaders were blaming him for his hard life on top of that. Can you imagine how he would feel? But then there was a spot of hope as he overheard Jesus say, "It was not this man that sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." What could that mean? The man thought. How could God possibly get glory from my terrible life situation? And then he heard another sound, a sound that he was oh so familiar with. He heard someone getting ready to spit. And he prepared for it, for that customary insult of having someone spit on him. He put his face down so it wouldn't land on his face again. But it didn't happen. The spit landed on the ground, somewhere near him. And then he felt someone kneeling down next to him. The man that they called Jesus rubbed some paste from the dirt and the spit onto his eyes, and he quietly said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." So let's pause here for a second. If you're like me, you might be wondering, what in the world is the pool of Siloam? I wondered the very same thing. Was it a famous swimming pool back in the day? I couldn't remember reading or hearing about it anywhere else in Scripture. So why did Jesus tell the man to wash the mud out of his eyes with water from this specific pool. They're going to put up a picture for us so you can see what it looked like. So this is what it would have looked like in ancient Israel. So it was a very small body of water that was at the very gate, the very bottom of the gate of entrance into the holy areas. Wikipedia says this, and I know the source, but that theirs was the best description I read. The Pool of Siloam was the starting point for pilgrims who made the annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and where they ascended by foot to the inner court of the Temple Mount to bring an offertory to the temple court. The Pool of Siloam, perhaps referring to the lower pool, was used by pilgrims for ritual purification before visiting the temple enclosure. Okay, so for all the kids who didn't understand what those words meant, what does this mean? It means that when someone wanted to go to church and worship God back in those days, it was a big deal. They first had to start at the Pool of Siloam. They had to wash themselves there so that they would be clean and fresh, kind of like how your parents or your spouse make you take a shower or a bath before you come to church. Then they started their journey to church. Now, they didn't have any cars, so it took them a little bit longer, and they had to go up many, many steps to get to the church. This is a drawing of what it might have looked like. You can see the Pool of Siloam is that small little strip, that narrow little strip of blue water down at the very, very bottom. The church, or the temple, was all the way at the top. And you see that set of stairs running through the middle? That's where they would ascend. So they would start at the Pool of Siloam, they would do their cleaning, their washing, and then they would go up the stairs to ascend to the Mount of the Lord. They have actually found some of those original stairs in Jerusalem. I want you to see how big they are. So those of you who complain about the little incline that we have coming into church, look at this that you would have had to climb. There's another picture of what it would have looked like looking up the staircase. Now, when Jesus sent the blind man to the Pool of Siloam, the blind man knew why he was sending him there. He knew that any time someone went to that pool, it's because they were going to church. Why did Jesus send him? But we're still wondering, right? Because we don't live in that time. Why? Why did he send him there? He was giving him the opportunity to know and worship God for the very first time in his life. No longer would this man's story be associated with sin or wrongdoing. No longer would he be alone and without a family. No longer would he be friendless, jobless, and penniless. Jesus did not just give this man the ability to see with his eyes. He gave him a bright future to set his sights on. Jesus wasn't just healing this blind man's eyes. He was helping this man to see and experience God for the very first time. Jesus was creating a worshiper. Later on, when the Pharisees heard what happened, they began an investigation. They didn't believe that Jesus really had the power to heal people. From verse 17, "So they again said to the blind man, 'What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?' And he said, 'He is a prophet.' But the church leaders were not content to leave it there. Jealousy and fear and unbelief meant that they kept on questioning him and everyone else who had been present. They even asked his parents if it was really him or someone pretending to look like him. Can you imagine having someone ask your parents if you were really you? It's almost funny. But the Pharisees, they were starting to get angry, and they couldn't hide it anymore. So they found the man again, and they demanded from him, 'Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner.' And he answered, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I do know, though I was blind, now I see. That was verses 24 and 25. What a testimony he had. The Pharisees asked him to give glory to God, and he did. In the NIV version, it reads, "Give glory to God by telling the truth." Do you ever find yourself confused about how to share the good news of Jesus with other people around you? This verse tells us exactly how to do it. Give glory to God by telling the truth. We can be effective worshipers, missionaries, and bridge builders when we simply tell the truth about what God has done in our lives. It's that simple. Here's what it may look like. This is a real story from my own life. I go to a Bible study on Tuesday mornings, and there's a gal that's in my discussion group who was recently telling us about a time that she went to the nail salon. She goes every 2 weeks. She does the dip powder. Her nails are fabulous. But she was telling us about a time that she went to the nail salon, and she had finally worked up the courage to talk to her nail tech about Jesus. She asked her one question about Jesus, and the lady answered, and then she got so nervous that she just didn't say anything else. She just couldn't think of what else to say. She clammed up. The funny thing was, the previous week in discussion group, she had told us an amazing story about how God had been so faithful and kind to her in the death of her brother. As she told us that story and how frustrated she was with herself, that she couldn't figure out the right words to talk about Jesus, we all were sitting there like, just tell your story! Just tell your story! We heard you say it before. You have a story about God's faithfulness to you. Just tell it. It's that easy. We knew that God had been at work in her life. All she had to do was tell the truth about it. You see, that's how we give God glory. And that's how we invite others to know and experience his goodness, by simply telling the truth about what God is doing in our lives. So what about you? How has God been good to you? And how can you tell others about it? Some of you may be thinking, oh, but I'm just this or that, or, you know, but I have some bumps and bruises that I've gotten along the way. But in the words of my friend Tabitha Brown, you may be bruised, but you can still be used. I'm going to say that one more time. You may be bruised, but you can still be used. Okay, let's get back to our story now. After what had probably seemed like hours and hours of questioning by these Pharisees, they concluded their interview by throwing the man out of the temple. Now, the temple was their version of church. They thought, well, if we can stop him from worshiping Jesus, we're going to do it. We're going to kick him out of church. But guess what? Church went to him. Jesus goes out and finds the man. Listen to the end of this passage as translated in the Message version. We'll start in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and he went and found him. He asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man said, "Point him out to me, sir, so that I can believe in him." Jesus said, "You're looking at him. Don't you recognize my voice?" "Master, I believe," the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. Jesus looked for the man on purpose, and he found him, just like he always does. He always knows where to find us. We can't hide from Jesus, and we can never, ever be too far from his love. Jesus finds that man, and he reveals to him who he really is. No more guessing, no more waiting, no more cryptic or mysterious words. Jesus lets him know in really clear words that he himself is the Messiah, the one who will restore us to God. And the man's response is two of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture: "I believe." Jesus sent that man to the Pool of Siloam knowing that he was going to later be kicked out of church. It didn't matter. That man did not need a church to worship because the church was standing right in front of him. It was God made flesh. It was Jesus. And he worshiped. I believe. Well, God is calling you to worship this morning too. He's making the way for you to see him for who he truly is. He invites you to see Jesus, who is God with us. God reaching down into the dirt, into the mess of our lives. He's there holding out his hands, offering to heal us from the inside out, for the first time or for the thousandth. So how will you respond to the goodness of God? Will you accept his invitation to come away and to wash your sin, to live a life that's full of joyful worship? Will you get excited to tell others the truth about all that he's done in your life? And will you let God display his good works in your life? Our lives begin to change the moment that we say those two little words, I believe. In big and little ways, our lives start to be made new. And Jesus wants to make every part of your life new. Will you let him? And will you trust him to do it his way? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have a good plan for every single one of our lives, even when it doesn't look like it, even when it looks like our lives are in shambles. Lord, you have a good plan for us. And so I pray, would you help us to believe it? Help us to believe you in every part of our lives, to trust you, to know that you are a good and kind Master, and you are worth following all the days of our lives. Amen. Now, as you go out, I pray that your story and your song would be praising Jesus all the day long, that wherever you go, whoever you come in contact with, that you would delight to tell the truth about all the good things that he's done in your life, and may others come to know his goodness and his grace through your story. May you go out in his power and with his song in your mouths. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.